you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'll admit I am an uber-organized, type A, overachiever, and I like to think that I am highly capable of being both Martha and Mary, sometimes at the same time. But whenever I'm around my longtime dear friend Helen, I feel like a slacker. She didn't climb the ladder of success in a big job in the Big Apple without honing some serious skills and drive and grit and resilience. I'm truly in awe of it, but I've been trying to let go of trying to measure up. Almost there. Like Martha, who was working like crazy in a hot kitchen trying to honor the enormity of the moment with Jesus in the house. God, what does he like to eat? How do you make him feel welcome and at home? And Mary's just hanging out with Rabbi Jesus, lounging at his feet like one of the disciples' feet that Martha undoubtedly washed, as was the custom, to get the sweaty, dusty journey off of a traveler's body. And is Mary even pretending to help? No. I just can feel Martha's slow burn in the kitchen while she's trying not to burn the bread. And so she asks, she can't take it anymore, and she asks, maybe raising her voice, or maybe with quiet, seething snark, does it not bother you that I'm doing everything all by myself? His response? Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed, only one. One? What is it? Jesus says to his disciples at their Last Supper, I am among you as one who serves, and Martha is doing her best to serve, to welcome, to do all the things that we think Jesus wants us to do. So what does it mean, one thing? It's almost impossible to do one thing when you're trying to entertain, especially when the guest is Jesus. And how does she respond? The gospel doesn't say. Does she shed her apron and plop down next to her sister at Jesus' feet? Then who makes the bread he breaks? What is Martha supposed to do? She has no idea. Do we? How do we both love and serve God? How do we grow in discipleship? We pray and reflect and we question what we're doing and where we're going. Are we moving closer to God or further away? Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. So whatever Mary is doing is more valuable than service? Are we supposed to choose between serving and listening? There are two words in this passage found nowhere else in all of the Gospels. They mean sitting alongside and was distracted. In Greek, they have very similar prefixes, para, meaning beside, alongside, and peri, around, about, near. Mary sits alongside Rabbi Jesus' feet, and Martha is hovering around him, multitasking while doing other duties. And the Greek for distracted, which Jesus calls his dear friend Martha, can also be interpreted as to pull away from a center reference point. So where do we place ourselves in relationship to Jesus? Are we walking alongside him, discerning where God is calling us? Or are we hovering around, easily pulled from our reference point, our center, our creator and redeemer? This story has been used for so long to lift up the contemplative life over the life of service. And actually in Greek, there's no reference to cooking or kitchens or food, which has been a very common English translation. So the image has really stuck of the two women welcoming Jesus into their house. But these binaries can get us into trouble. Serving or listening. Hospitality or evangelism. Us or them. Progressives or conservatives, when really both progressing and conserving are important aspects of our faith lives. This passage has also been used to fuse or spin all Martha's hard work with making discipleship look easy, like Mary, fueling the unattainable superwoman image, not unlike another Martha, Stewart. What if instead of an either or, our scripture is asking us to imagine beyond the binaries to a both and? In this divine disruption with Jesus in the house, it is so intimate, like sibling rivalries playing out across the ages in so many households around the globe, as well in so many households of faith. Both this service at the table and service studying and proclaiming God's word, both are needed. In the Acts of the Apostles, considered a sort of part two to Luke's gospel, Luke acknowledges that prayer and proclaiming the word shouldn't be neglected in order to wait on tables, or diaconia, usually translated as ministry, from which we get the word deacons. That's what Martha is busy doing. Diaconia, ministry. Therefore, brothers and sisters, writes Luke in Acts, select from among yourselves seven men of good standing, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. For we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word. They created a whole office for service. Yet, here in our Luke reading, Jesus seems to set the sisters at odds, doesn't he? But what if instead the scene lifts up the way that God works in all the ways? Through Christ in the house and at work and at church, inside and outside, nourishing us at the table through prayer, energizing us to go out into the world to serve, to bring about God's justice. What if this is the both and of God's household of faith? All through our scriptures, Jesus reiterates that the divine message is loud and clear. What is required is to love and serve God and neighbor. It can feel hard, but it's not complicated. Worrying or fussing doesn't make the meal go any faster onto the table. And what is Martha getting the meal on the table for? Hospitality? Diaconia. Time with Jesus, to be with him, to hear what he has to say. She can't be part of that conversation if she's bustling in and out, hovering around, distracted. So we know that when Jesus calls her over saying, Martha, Martha, he's inviting her not only to be still, to stop bustling and be present, but he's also calling her to discipleship, the way the prophets of old were called, twice by name, Martha, Martha. Jesus calls her away from herself, away from her busy, bustling life to be with him, to talk to him, to join him, to follow him. He is the one thing. He's why we gather here and pray and serve God with and through one another. And he teaches us how to do it. What happens next, right after this visit with Mary and Martha, which we'll explore next week, is that Jesus teaches his followers how to be disciples, how to pray to God. He has called them to leave families and careers and possessions and follow him. And he teaches all of them about discipleship all along the way. He teaches them how to be with him, just as he's taught Martha how to be. Let go of your busyness. Love God. Love your neighbor. Pray these words. Easier said than done, I know. But we try. We pray. We ask forgiveness as we forgive others. We gather at the table, this table. We break bread remembering. We serve one another, seeing Christ in one another, in this household of faith, this house, this meeting house. When the disciples celebrated Jesus' life at their Last Supper together, the table was probably beautifully set and lovingly arranged by people like Martha. But that's not what we remember. We remember, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's the one thing the meal was for: Christ, his life and death and resurrection. So we break bread and we drink wine and we stop and take the time and space to help us deeply know what his ministry was for. Because it's easy to forget. We hosts and servers were so busy preparing and presenting a meal that we can't be present. And what if it's all not Martha's to do, or for any one of us to do? What if whenever we're worried or distracted, we focus on listening for God and to each other, on loving God and our neighbors and ourselves, on learning when the work is ours to pick up and when it is time let it go. Martha, Martha, Jesus calls. You don't need to worry. You have everything you need here in this house. Family, food, me. You don't need to be distracted making the bread. I am the bread. I am the one thing. It cannot be taken away from Mary, or from you, Martha, or from you, or you, or you. That discipleship, that fellowship, that thankfulness and laughter and tearfulness and connection to neighbor and family, to God, that's what we all want. And that's what God wants for us, too. Thanks be to God. Amen.